Welcome to Screencast, Kinda Funny's only entertainment-based show where we discuss movies, TV shows, and streaming services. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Kevin Coelho, and to the far left, for the first time ever, the shark, Finnegan.
What's up, everyone? Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Hello, Tim.
Hello.
How you doing?
It's important to ask you, what is your movie review scale? Because Nick Scarpino has the patented
three finger scale.
There's good, good, bad, and bad.
That seems like it's a very reductive scale.
Yeah. The good bad. It's a wide range, that encompasses basically every movie ever made.
Exactly. Yeah. What's your scale?
I don't know. I guess if I had to scale something, it'd be like a 1 to 10. You know, okay.
1 to 10.
Yeah, or 100 point, the IGN scale. You know,
100 points. So it's 1 to 10, and it's the
it's like 9.5. You know what I mean? Which is like 95.
Oh, I'm 9.7.
Yeah. Or 7.9.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Finnegan.
Yeah.
You watch anything good recently?
Yeah, I did. So last week I saw Alita. I know you guys talked about it last week.
We saw it a couple weeks ago.
I thought it was pretty cool, man. Like,
right?
If you go into it with tempered expectations, you're going to have a good time, which is exactly what I had when I went and saw it.
They jammed a lot of story into it, but also the visuals are so good. Like, I think on that alone, it's worth like seeing. And the story's okay.
I think they had a vision and they really committed to it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate when groups commit to the thing without, because at some point you're like, this is ridiculous. And I feel like it requires people to be like, that's the point. Keep going.
Yeah.
Because when you like shy away from it, then you get a piece of shit.
Yeah. I also think like there's something to be said about anime adaptations that don't suck. There are not a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
Like there's this. And then, like, can you think of any other ones that
and
don't suck?
I was saying this on the show a couple weeks ago, but it's like, I feel like the reason for that is this is unapologetically anime.
Yeah.
It wasn't trying to not be. It wasn't trying to be the Hollywood version.
Totally.
It was trying to be anime in real life.
Yeah, and which, I think it succeeded.
Yeah.
Awesome action sequences. I think, like Kevin said, the visuals were amazing. There's always this, like in film, we talk about this thing called the uncanny valley, which is like the more and more CGI characters approach realism, the less real it actually looks. I don't think this suffered from that.
No.
Rosa Salazar's like character of Alita felt very real and like in the world of the other characters who are live action.
I feel like that's because I feel like that was designed to make it feel like they're not trying to be humans. They are these cyborgs. And it's like, I feel like that's why the Uncanny Valley thing didn't happen. When you watch the movie, I feel like people that just saw the trailer were
everyone focuses on
the eyes. And
it's like, I love it. Like it gave such a cool, unique look.
Yeah. I think like, obviously it's not a perfect movie. Like if I had to throw critiques at it, like I think I'd probably talk a little bit about the story. Yeah, it's right there in the bad range. Yeah. There's some problems on the page. Like some people have pointed out, like obviously the plot's a little wonky. The whole reveal of who Nova is, that's totally crazy. I was like,
unnecessary move, but all right, cool. I get it, don't spoil it.
I wasn't gonna say, but
honestly, I don't think it matters.
It doesn't.
No, but like
still.
That's very much like oh, there are sequels coming.
It's like, no, there's not.
There's not a chance in hell. That's too bad, because I want to see the end of the story or the continuation of the story.
And that's what I was gonna say, is like my critique is like all of what's really, really interesting about the world that Alita sets up isn't addressed in the movie, right? Where she's from, what's up in that city, who Nova is, what the story is, what the fall was, like how the world that we're looking at on screen got to be the way it is. Like that's all the stuff I'm being like, I want to know more about that when I watch
and
this movie.
I feel like
you never
that's
talk
why,
about it.
But I feel like that's why I liked it, is that we didn't know and they didn't give us those answers, but they made us ask a lot of questions. I think that's a sign of a good story, right? It's like they make you invested enough that you give a fuck that we want a sequel to Alita Battle Angel.
The unfortunate thing is, like, I agree with you just in the sense, like, I think that that is broken if we don't get a sequel. Because then it's just like, great, they set up this world that we'll never see.
That's
true. It's also like, I don't know, it doesn't really, I agree with you on some level. Like, there are movies that they drop you right in the middle of it and they don't really try to explain what the world is and stuff, and that makes you want it more. But like in this case, I think they could have just done a little bit more to give Alita as a character some sense of direction, because she doesn't, the whole time, I don't really know what she wants. Like,
yeah.
What is her main conflict? What drives her?
Her whole plot moves very, very quickly,
very
it's kind of like, I'm here,
but
now I'm in love, now there's a flashback, now I'm this, now
like,
it's like, it's
what
so
I was
going
to say, I love movies that are character driven as opposed to plot driven, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
This is very much a plot driven movie. Like Alita moves forward in the story because the plot's moving forward and she just has to, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like, I like generally the movie to unfold as the character faces challenges on her own. And like, really, you're not really, understanding who she is and where she's coming from, because the movie doesn't really contextualize that. But these are all minor gripes. Like, you go into that expecting an awesome anime action movie, and that's exactly what you get. Totally. And you get it in spades. Like, some of those action scenes are well choreographed.
Her, like, dad, I guess, pulls that giant hammer out, and you're like, that is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
then rocket-powered
they
hammer.
Use it, and it's just like, no one's like, oh, that's a stupid hammer.
Yeah, I love it.
Enjoyed it.
In the world so much.
Mm-hmm.
And to your right, my left, Tim, 30 under 30.
It's true.
Geddes.
That's me.
Tim, what have you watched this last week?
So, I started watching this new Netflix series called Dating Around. Have you heard of it?
I have not heard of it, but I have seen the tile.
Absolutely. So, dude, Netflix, I mean, there's like a magic to Netflix where it's just like, you know, you watch the thing that you were trying to watch, but then when it's over, you're like, what's next? And you start blading through, and then you see stuff. And the way that they have the trailers just autoplay, as annoying as it is,
it works, introduced me to so many
shows that I really like. Dating Around, very interesting premise. It's essentially Next. Do you remember the show Next on UPN?
Yeah, it's a good show.
Where it would just be like one person is going on a date. And
they were chased by an RV, right?
Oh. Yeah.
They weren't chased. There was an RV with girls in it.
I think I do remember that.
And like, if the date was going bad, you could say Next, and then they'd bring you a new person to date.
There's one episode I remember where the dude is like having a great conversation with this girl. And then like, he's like, yeah, you know, like, you're awesome. And she's like, yeah, you know, the next girl's a model.
Yeah.
And he was like, Next.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a model. She was just joking. It was like,
so funny.
But that concept of a show just sounds like the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing about Dating Around. It is the 2019 version of that.
Huh.
So it's
so Netflix. You like swipe or something?
It's extremely overproduced visually. Like, they're trying to make this the most cinematic thing of all time. And I'm just like, I can imagine you watching it and just being like, why? Why are they like doing the, why is it ultra wide? Like, it's just, there's so many weird decisions made. But what's cool about it is it's one person going on five blind dates. But the way that they cut it is they all go on the same date. So the like, episode one is this guy with five women. He always wears the same outfit to each of the dates. The dates are in three phases. They go get drinks. They go, or like pre-drink, like, you know, at the bar waiting for their dinner to get ready. Then they get dinner. And then after that, they go get more drinks. They choose one person to go on a second date with. And you don't see the second date. There's kind of just the reveal at the end of the episode of who they chose.
Mm.
But what's cool about it is, since it's all same outfits, same places, they're able to edit and cut to make it look like it's one date happening.
Hmm.
And it's really cool to see the dichotomy and similarities of the conversations they're having, where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I was divorced before or whatever. And then it'll cut and be like, yeah, it was 10 years ago and blah, blah, blah. And then it'll cut and like, it just keeps going. But the way that people react to the same information is so interesting.
And like the, where the path of the conversation goes. Wow, what a wild concept. Yeah. That's crazy.
And it's very diverse.
It seems really hard to pitch.
It's a diverse group of people, too.
Yeah.
Like, totally different backgrounds. And it's very wild to see kind of like where things go. People get sent home in the middle of the day. People like stand up and just like walk out because they're fucking pissed because they got into a fight about racial things. Like, it's very 2019.
That seems really annoying to shoot, too. Because like,
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's normal coverage of it. And then they just kind of like, they just let them do a first date.
Seems like it's made in the edit.
But so here's the cool thing about it is like, it's just such a it's people watching, right? Mm-hmm. But it's people watching that looks very pretty, and you're just watching people go on a first date, and so there's so much just meta commentary about like,
are the people pretty?
A lot of them are, but it's like, it's very diverse. It's like a ridiculously eclectic. What's
any
up?
Normals?
Any normals?
Oh, there's something else. it's a very eclectic. Cats, doesn't matter.
Any people that look like, you know,
yes, me? Totally.
They got
absolutely
a couple of me's in there?
Yeah. There's definitely
a
couple of
you. They do all right.
They didn't make it all the way, but they did. They got farther than I thought they would. But what a lot of the show, it's only, they're 20 minute episodes, 20 to 30 minutes. And some of it is
it
boring.
Is it one dude? It's one season. Yeah. Well, no. In an episode, is it one dude or is it multiple? Like,
it's one dude, five women.
Okay.
Then the next episode was one woman, five dudes.
Cool. Okay.
Then the next episode was
five dudes.
A gay guy, five gay guys. And then the next one was a 76-year-old man.
Whoa.
With a bunch of older women. And I'm like, they got
me. They
didn't
throw one young woman in there?
Well, one was younger compared to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool show. I'm liking it so far. I'm hooked on it just from the, like, you know,
how many
the
episodes
shitty
total?
TV perspective. I don't know. I want to say 8, probably.
Okay, cool.
But it's definitely been getting my interest. It's like there's moments in it that are slow because you are just watching people on a first date. But for all of those, there's always the build up to some type of blow up, some type of like, they're like. I'm spoiling it a little bit, but there's in the gay episode, there was two dudes that from the moment they met, you could just tell they were going to fuck that night. And it's like they barely said a word to each other. It'd be like cutting between all the other things. They're having these great conversations or whatever. Then we cut back to those two and they're just looking at each other.
It's just
like,
sexual tension.
And
it's
all in the eyes. I was like, oh my God. It was pretty fucking cool.
Sounds like an interesting concept that I will probably never watch.
Yeah, but it's cool.
It's
cool.
Really hard to sell me on reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, but I think I could see Paula getting into it and me watching in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, cool. I watched Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, dude.
I fucking loved it.
How long is it?
I think it's 9 episodes.
Ten
episodes.
Hour or?
I think it's close to an hour.
A lot of people have been chatting about it on Twitter.
It's really cool. It's a little tropey, but it's also like they do some wild things that are like really rad. With I don't want to get into stuff, but like
essentially, if you're into X-Men, you'll be into this.
Yeah, because it's what it is. It's like an X-Men.
Who isn't into X-Men?
I know.
Yeah.
Fucking nerds.
Well, the movies suck. You know.
Yeah. Not all of them.
Most of them.
Days of Future Past, I think, is legit good.
Yeah, it's not as good as you. I can't remember where it fell on the scale.
It is legit good, but like.
But I remember just being disappointed by everything.
I mean, they're all somewhat
disappointed. Let me recommend something to you, Sean.
Yeah.
Never watch every X-Men movie in a row.
Don't do it.
Just don't do it.
It sucks. Oh, it's God. Very depressing.
And one, I think I have a sense of what you guys are talking about because I rewatched, maybe this was like 2 or 3 years ago now. I watched X1, the first one. And boy, does that movie not hold up.
Oh, no. Yeah. And you want to hear something even more heartbreaking?
All of them.
X2 doesn't hold up.
Really? Okay.
No, it's bad.
I still hold X2 in high regard.
Then never watch it again.
Okay.
Keep that in your heart, man.
That opening sequence, man, with Nightcrawler.
Dope as fuck.
That's kind of Brian Singer's thing, though. Is like every one of his movies is pretty much okay all the way through with one awesome action scene somewhere. And then the rest of the movie is like, whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, but Umbrella Academy... It's really fun. I really recommend it.
Cool.
Yeah. Go and watch it. This show is recorded live every Friday at 11 a.m. You're watching it now, maybe. Maybe you're watching it on YouTube, youtube.com/kindoffunny.
Maybe you're watching it.
On Rooster Teeth.
Rooster Teeth.
That's a new one. Yeah.
All our content's now there now. Pretty big deal.
Some housekeeping. We did a fundraiser. We hit our goal. Passed it by a lot. We hit 80,000. Now we're going to a bunch of places. We're doing a world tour. Kansas City.
You're
coming to you sometime in March.
End of March. Early April, New York.
Yep.
In May, Vancouver. Sometime later, London.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Patreon producers. Trevor Starkey, David Mintel, Panzer, Jeremy Goldman, Drew Ernie, and Korish Jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm saying that wrong. James Davis, the last one. Korish, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know how you say your name. And then this show is brought to you by our sponsors. And today, that's Eero and Hims. But more about that later. First, the news. Barrett's not even here.
Barrett usually makes a little noise.
He's
coming.
New news!
Thank you.
He changes it up every week. It's fun. all right, our first story, Space Jam 2 official release date and this poster.
Wait, this is real?
This is real, Tim. This is real.
No.
I included it. Like, I don't know why they put it out this size. I guess it was on Twitter that they put it out, I think. But, like, this is real. This is the real size. It has this, like, weird filter on it that makes it look like that. This is real, Tim.
I would have bet. Like, I walked in, I was like, why'd Kevin put a shitty Photoshop on the goddamn thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
So let me read the date. It's July 16th, 2021. Seems really early to announce.
Super far away.
Yeah, super far away. And this is the art that they put out. This is not me cropping it out. That's the bottom of the image.
Hey, give me more Lola, dude. Give me more bugs. I'm into it. I rewatched Space Jam about 10 years ago, and I was like, man, I wish that movie was better. It's trash.
Wait, I thought you rewatched it.
I rewatched that movie about a month ago, and I was like, I was wrong. This movie's fucking awesome. But it's fucking awesome in the stupid crossover, like, dumb, goofy, you just got to be into it way. Like, I watched it a month after I watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and it's like, it is night and day.
Those are, totally different.
One is a 10 out of 10, I would say. And the other is like, it's a dumb, fun movie. But like, LeBron James is a fucking funny actor, man.
That's true.
He's good on camera in a way that Michael Jordan is like, he is just a cardboard cutout of a human being.
We'll see.
Isn't he good as like making fun of him being a silly guy? Because he was in like a train wreck, right? And he's like a kind of a bumbling idiot there.
Not really. I mean, like, he is self-aware, though.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he plays LeBron James in that,
right,
which is funny.
And he will hear too.
But like, he plays in that movie, he's very much a minor character, and he just uses the amount of screen time he gets. Like, he doesn't outstay his welcome. Like, he's used just the right amount. I wonder how a whole hour and a half of LeBron James being LeBron James, I wonder how that plays.
I mean, it's Space Jam. You know what I mean? I'm not expecting an Oscar here. Space Jam did bring us I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly. Bring us the y'all ready for this? Da, 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 and all that. It also brought us the Space Jam 11s, the Jordans. So it's like, also brought us my baby girl herself, Lola Bunny. So
did
it's
she
like,
not exist before that?
This was her debut.
Whoa,
and I'll
crazy.
Never forget.
So hot.
When you take all of those things together, it also
am I wrong? You don't think Lola Bunny is super hot?
It had Bill Murray.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
It had Bill Murray, right?
Bill Murray.
Yeah,
but it also had, I'm blanking on his name. What's the basketball player?
There's like a bunch of
Charles Barkley. It had Charles Barkley, who I had the action figure of.
Ewing's in it. Like, there are a lot of them.
Yeah, but Charles
Barkley's
really
cool in it. They all have like a
shot
where like the Monstars kind of like take them over.
So it had a lot of cool things. I'm joking about Charles Barkley, but all those other things are awesome.
You don't like Charles Barkley?
I mean, whatever.
Dude, Charles Barkley's hilarious.
Yeah, he's really good at it. Well, at least as far as I remember.
Oh, I mean, I don't remember him in the movie, but I mean, as a person now.
In the movie, doesn't matter. Muggsy Bogues is in it. But anyways, Space Jam 1 had a lot of like.
Wait, no, it's Muggsy Bogues who I enjoyed in the movie. So the shorter dude?
Yeah. I don't know that this movie can have that, can match that, right? Like, that kind of had a lot of elements that made it more interesting than just.
You don't think Bill Murray comes back?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know.
Also, do you not think Lola Bunny's hot?
I mean, dude, don't ask stupid questions.
Thank you.
What's the next news
Thank
story?
Thank you. Cool, Greg, can you hit next on VLC over here? The next news story. No, take your time. There's no rush. Halo TV series will be directed by Robin Hood filmmaker Otto Bathurst?
Robin Hood?
Does that sound
like
nice?
The new Robin Hood?
Yeah, like the new Robin Hood.
Jamie Foxx and stuff.
But look how good that image is in the background.
Bill Murray will 1,000% be in Space Jam, whatever the hell they're calling this
Space
one.
Jam 2. Do you want to see the poster for it real quick?
I already saw it. I'm watching live. How do you think I knew to get
this is an interesting story because that movie was not good and it bombed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the only thing that this dude is notable for.
Let me put my two cents into this. This isn't happening.
They've tried this multiple times.
Like,
it's going to be a Showtime show?
I want to point this out. This is something, I mean, we've been covering this story at IGN for literally years. Like, this was announced in 2013 with Spielberg's company, which is still technically
It's still attached, yeah.
Right, but like, when it was announced, everyone said, this is a Steven Spielberg TV show. And everyone thought like, oh, he'll either direct, which that was unlikely, but he might produce. His company's still attached, but it looks to be the case that he is not at all anywhere near this project. And they've gone through so many different showrunners and directors at this point. I'll bet you it still happens because a deal's made.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know, man.
This is tough.
Halo, like, I feel like they've gotten to the point where it's just, when they were talking, like, Halo's a big deal. I'm sure that, like, for nostalgia purposes for you guys, it's still a big deal. But, like, I don't know that it has the cultural impact if it comes out
in two years. It could. As a TV show, not necessarily. On Showtime, probably not. And I think
is
there have been so many Halo series, whether it was the one that Machinima Prime thing that
they
did.
They're all, like, very mediocre, too. I'm talking about that, like, I am a huge Halo fanboy.
Nerd.
Like, I think
you got him.
I've been saying for years, like, I think Halo would translate to the big screen, like, in such an awesome way. But every live action iteration that they've done of Halo, whether it was Nightfall, which is that story following Locke as he like leads up to the Halo 5 story, or
forgot the name of the original one. Yeah.
It's called Forward Unto Dawn.
Yes.
It followed like mostly the recruits, like the sort of like younger soldiers and not Chief, although he does appear. None of them are very good, and they haven't really fully realized the vision of what a lot of fans and me think Halo could be on the big screen. And it just sucks when you see sort of what I would call maybe I'm being a little harsh, but like B-tier directors and talent attached to what should be like, it should be a Spielberg or someone.
I mean, it should be a Spielberg movie. It's a Halo TV show, in my opinion, just can't work because you're right. It would make an awesome movie because it is just a dumb B sci-fi story, right? Halo's story is not.
It's an awesome, amazing, epic story.
It's fine.
It's like, but yeah, put it into one movie. Call it a day.
Yeah.
One movie.
I don't.
You think so?
That's my thing.
Are there like five games right now?
I know, but how much of them have good stories?
Dude,
like,
I wouldn't, start with one movie. The Fall of Reach.
The Fall of Reach would be freaking awesome. You don't need
Master
Chief.
You make that into a war movie. It'd be great. It and it's like Saving Private Ryan. Very dire.
It's Rogue One.
Brink of extinction. Like,
did you watch Robin Hood?
The Jamie Foxx one? No.
I saw the trailers too many times.
The trailer told me enough.
All right, well, I guess we're not super excited for that. Moving on to the next story, The Haunting of Bly Manor. Wait, Barrett. next story.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Did you guys watch The Haunting of
Hill House?
Hill House?
Mm-mm.
Neither of you? I didn't get around to it.
Damn, dude. It's a really, really good show. It's honestly one of the best scary like pieces of content I've consumed. Mm. And I can't recommend it enough. And they've just announced they're doing a season 2.
Cool.
But it's not related. This is going to be an anthology series.
That's cool.
Which is really rad. The director of it is Flanagan something.
Flanagan.
Damn it. I don't know why. Mannequins. Anyways, he's done a great job. He did the Hush movie. Did you watch that movie?
Mm-mm.
That's the movie that's on Netflix that Cool Greg watched and was too scared to go to sleep afterwards.
Shit.
Sounds like Cool Greg.
Cool. It's an adaptation of the gothic novel, The Turn of the Screw, and not a story that I've heard of before, but it's about ghosts.
American classic.
Yeah.
Cool.
People online seemed really excited for it.
Awesome.
I can't wait for it. Let's move on to the next story. Tim, this one's just for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hasbro officially confirms Bumblebee as Transformer reboot.
So here's the thing. Did you see this movie? I did.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did. I liked it.
It was great.
It's great.
Fun. It's maybe the best
Transformers movie.
I would say it is the best Transformers movie because it actually like has heart and it has character, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like all the other ones miss that, including the first one. But you can't just now say it's a reboot after you've been saying that it's part of the canon. And after watching the movie, try not to spoil things. Things happen in that movie that like they made sure fit in the timeline. And whether or not you're saying it's a reboot, cool, you could now go on a different path. There's still a bunch of bullshit we need to deal with. Mm. I don't know, man.
Not so this is not that. An exciting thing for you.
I mean, it's more exciting than it just being fully in it, but like, I don't know. Bumblebee's already. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, I don't know.
I don't know that it matters all that much to me. I don't care much about
Did
the
you
Transformers.
Watch the other five that came before this?
There's one I haven't seen.
Last night.
I watched The Last Night on a plane and I couldn't even finish it, dude.
It's really bad, man.
Like, you go out of your...
Even with Anthony Hopkins in it?
Dude, Anthony Hopkins might even be the worst part about it.
I think
he is.
Because he's so out of place. Yeah. Like, he's an amazing actor. Everyone knows this. He's iconic. To put him in that, it's like... I don't know. It's like going to a baseball game and eating, like, a steak. It just doesn't fit. You know?
Yeah.
I would enjoy that.
Like, my thing with Transformers, I've talked about this stuff a lot. It's one of my favorite franchises of all time. Like, I love Transformers. Not the movies. Like,
the franchise.
TV show? Yeah.
The property.
Growing up
with the TV show.
The 80s
show
movie,
but
man.
It's like
with Unicron.
The 80s movie is so dope just because of the shit they pull on it.
The soundtrack is dope, man.
Also, like, Beast Wars. Fucking great.
Beast Wars is great. Yeah, and like the comics are so good. Like the current IDW runs have been so good for Transformers. Some of the best comics, dead, like hard stop, like not Transformers. Like they're great. The Lost Light story's great because it focuses on characters. It's not about the humans. It's not about whatever. It's these robots living in this war, the politics of it. Like, all that stuff's so great. Transformers 1, I was so excited for it. 2007, I must have been like 17 at the time, right? Could not wait for this damn movie to come out. And then it came out, and I remember walking out of the theater and just like being so disappointed. Really? And like lying to myself, being like,
I liked it.
It was a Phantom Menace thing. It was like, yeah, like that was cool.
And then I watched it again, and I was just like, there's certain action scenes that are great, but then I was like, why is there so many humans? Like, why is this?
Did that have the forest scene, or is that in 2?
No, that was 2.
Okay.
So 1, though, eventually I was like, you know what? It's going to be okay. Like, they announced 2, and then we started.
Do you remember
trailers.
When that fake script came out for 2, and it was
the
phenomenal?
Best thing of all time.
At your house, I think I sat and you just read it.
There was this leaked script. There was someone. It was fucking.
Yeah, it was just shit.
But it was so good. Good.
And it was 2, not short.
And then 2 came out, and it was not a good movie. In fact, it was bad. But
2 might be the most forgettable. Just movie in general. I don't remember anything that happened.
No, it has the great forest scene.
Yeah, memorable.
Where they fight.
2 is the one with Jetfire.
2 is, that's Revenge of the Fallen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's very forgettable.
Is that, thanks.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Jetfire is the dude that like kills himself and like goes on
Optimus Prime?
That was
Optimus
a great
flies.
Scene too.
Like, remember the thing that like they needed to bring Optimus Prime back and then it dissolved and then it magically came back when they went
the
to
sand.
Optimus. Yeah,
dude,
fucking dumb.
These movies fucking
so
suck.
Dumb.
But 2 had cool action scenes.
Was that
the forest
the Matrix?
Fight was fantastic.
Like, they all kind of have cool action scenes.
No, but 2
no, but a lot
specifically,
of them have action scenes that are like
it's metal
too
in the
much
blender.
Motion and
well, there's definitely too. That's characteristic of just the Transformers movie.
But number 2 has the forest scene.
That's why
a lot of it's
scene,
in slow mo.
It zoomed out. It was wide. It was IMAX. So it was the whole thing.
So
and
rad.
They made the decision to be in this giant open field, so there's not things getting bumped into. You could see the robots fight. You could actually see the action, and that's why it's the best action scene in the franchise. Then you get to 3, and it was just like they were so lost in what they were trying to do at that point. Bringing Megatron back, it's like what's
the one with the moon, right?
And Megatron was literally a garbage truck. God. It's like so much of it was just so bad. But again, cool action scenes, and I've never seen a city get decimated in a movie like they did Chicago in that.
Except for Superman,
like
Superman.
I know, but like it felt more like oh fuck. It felt like it felt connected to the human characters in a way that Superman. It's just like it might as well have just been toys being knocked over.
4 was that's Extinction,
Age of
right?
Extinction, which I saw in theaters, and I walked out. And I'm like,
this
is the worst movie I've ever seen.
I remember this very vividly because I went and saw it. You went and saw it, but we saw it separately. And you texted me, and you said, "I found that movie offensive," which I thought was
that is what
the
I said.
Greatest thing. Because like I've always been like, Tim will love this because you generally do. But then, the fact that you hated it was like,
that's why I stopped watching. Didn't watch 4.
I hated it. And then I didn't even watch last night when it came out in theaters. I was like,
either.
Fuck this.
Which is unfortunate because I want to be honest, that first trailer for The Last Night seems really awesome.
But then it's not.
But it's also easy. Like, it shows, like, you know, a bunch of Transformers with, like, swords and knights. And then you have this Anthony Hopkins VO. And I was like, it's really easy to make anything seem cool with Anthony Hopkins doing a VO.
But then I remember I did a double feature at my house because Gio was gone for a weekend.
Oh, my God. Why would you subject yourself to that?
Ladies and gentlemen, I watched back-to-back Transformers The Last Night and Ninja Turtles 2 Out of the Shadows.
Oh,
I hear that's not
bad. It was
a
fun movie.
It's
not
a great,
good.
It's a great, not great. It's a cool, like, cartoon come to real life.
I didn't see it. Yeah. That's exactly what Max and Brian said. It's like, if you love the cartoon and just wish that was a movie, that's what the movie is. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's what it is. But last night, man, if I thought Age of Extinction was offensive.
So
last night
bad, dude.
Is just like, it's a joke of itself.
What
it's
that,
just
like,
the most complicated, convoluted piece of shit story of all time.
Jesus
there's
Christ.
Literally, I watched it on a plane and I couldn't finish it. But like, there's this one part where
Bumblebee fights Hitler.
There's that.
Fights alongside Hitler, excuse me.
There's what?
There's like a robot Transformers butler who like helps Anthony Hopkins. He's like a regular size Transformer. He's like a cyborg. He's like our size. I don't know. It's weird.
Like
but
the
there's
robot
this like,
the girl in
it's
2?
Like Chappie almost.
Yeah.
But like
God, I hate
there's a scene early on in the movie, like towards the end of the first act, where the main characters all get separated and they go their different ways. And like by the time you get to the third act and they all reunite, I had forgotten that they were even in the movie.
Yeah.
They come back and you're like, oh yeah, the little girl. What was she doing?
And they
all
also
time?
they kill off Shia LaBeouf's character.
Wait, what?
Off screen, like in some stupid ass like line.
Is he
like,
in the movie at all, or are they just
no?
Okay,
no, it's just like oh, the Witwicky family, which apparently like it went back for millions of years. God, whatever, fuck this. What's the next news story?
All right, stop talking about this.
The Punisher and Jessica Jones canceled by Netflix.
No one saw that.
Which means the Marvel Netflix TV universe is no more.
Yeah, so this is really... Why are you sad about this?
You didn't like it?
It was mostly... We put this in like such a weird light. We're like, oh yeah, the Marvel Netflix was all really good.
Not all of it.
Yeah, nobody said that.
Most of it was bad. So like, we should just move on and try to create something better.
I thought it was cool what they were doing. It was a fun little experiment.
Daredevil, I think, is awesome.
Daredevil season one,
season two is boring as shit.
Season two kind of lost its way. But did you see?
Daredevil. Got it.
Season one was awesome. Two was...
I actually liked two. It had the two storylines, right?
That was the thing. You kind of split it down the middle because like a good half of it ends up kind of being about the Punisher, which makes Daredevil's story not seem as cool.
Right.
And then in the end, he ends up... This is much of a spoiler, but he ends up fighting sort of the same villains as the first season, so that's not all that cool either. And then... Three regains its strength, and three is awesome. I don't know if you guys saw season three.
I haven't seen any of this shit.
It is really good.
I think I finished it.
Three's really
I really
good.
Enjoyed it, yeah.
So I think it's sad that we're just deprived of Daredevil. Like, that sucks. Well, Punisher I thought was good too. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, there was a fan, a letter from Marvel to the fans that was just like, hey, it was a cool experiment. There's a total of 100-something episodes, and... you know, they had a quote, which I should have written down, but from Daredevil, where it was like, let's remember Daredevil's dad always said, like, it isn't how you go down, or how you handle going down, or it's how you get up from it.
Mm-hmm. So a recurring theme in many comic books.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things, like, is this the end of those stories, or are they just going to be on Hulu?
Well, so that's the thing is there's a lot of speculation about whether this lives somewhere else.
Right, I want to get
your guys' opinions on this. Me and Aransky talk about this nonstop, but like the word on the street is that it may go to a service like Disney Plus or Hulu, which Disney has a controlling stake in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The word might be Hulu because people perceive Disney Plus to be very, like it's supposed to be family friendly.
Yeah.
And so how do you have like Daredevil and the Punisher on a family friendly service?
Right.
But I don't know. What do you guys think? Does it come back or is it dead?
It's interesting the family the like friendly stuff because they now own Fox, one of the Fox studios, right?
Well, they own 20th Century Fox.
20th Century Fox, right?
Yeah.
Which makes a bunch of like R-rated, not family friendly stuff, and like I guess that would be weird on like a Disney Plus. That's like here's this giant like kids section.
I have a feeling. I know that right now, currently, they're saying that there's no R-rated movies and all that stuff. I think that's going to change. And I think that at the very least, it'll be a separate service or like a separate launcher app, you know, that like you can go into that has everything. Because like what they're building towards here, it's like they're not going to leave that money on the table. They have too many properties that make too much money. And like the fact is, it's like, okay, cool. They're launching their own thing. These are Disney shows that have been on Netflix. It's not like Disney's afraid to go there. Content-wise.
Yeah, right? But I feel like Disney, I mean, Netflix does have that option for, like, the kid one. Like, when you go to your accounts,
That's kind of what I was going to say, is, like, surely there's a simple way to sort of build in that, like, some of this content, based on its rating, isn't accessible to kids. Like, a kid's version or a kid's account, or depending on what account you're signed into, you have your age dictated or whatever. Like, I think it's gated, you know?
I imagine the Disney Plus thing is going to be the flip of Netflix, where Netflix is like, it's Netflix, oh, there's a kid version. It's going to be, there's a kid version, oh, you can also have an adult version. Because they're going to market it to parents of just like, hey, this is your one, if you're going to get one streaming service, it should be
here
this.
It is. It's
for
magic,
the kids.
Yeah.
They'll have it forever.
But also it's for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you want to see the Punisher? Like, you're sick and tired of cartoon kid bullshit? Watch some dude, like, shoot off people's heads with machine guns. Like,
did you watch The Punisher season one and two?
Yeah. So, well, I haven't seen two yet. Okay. But season one, I thought was... I just think Frank Castle's awesome.
Yeah, like, he's such a badass.
Yeah, like...
And he's just a murdering machine.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Like, it's surprising. Like, they committed. You were talking about, like, committing to something. Mm-hmm. Like, they commit with that character. He is ultra-violent and somewhat not redeemable.
I hope, personally, as somebody that didn't watch these, mainly because I knew how not canon they are, despite how many quotes you might pull or whatever, these aren't in the MCU. Knowing that we're going forward getting the Loki and Scarlet Witch and all this stuff, and those are going to be in the MCU, like by default, they have to be, right?
Right.
Like, I hope that we do see Daredevil and we do see Punisher and all that, but not these. These, let them go. These are their own stories. The Netflix MCU series, let that close that chapter. Let's go forward. It could be the same actors. I hear that a lot of them do a really good job.
Dude,
cool.
Yeah.
Bring them on. They're so good. But it needs to be its own thing. I don't think this news is surprising. The only person that didn't see it coming was Daredevil.
Clever.
All right. It's time for some ads. Our first ad is Eero. Eero is the Wi-Fi we always wish we had in our homes. A fast, reliable connection in every room and the backyard, too.
Mm-hmm.
Total network protection. Eero Plus offers the ability to block malicious and unwanted content across your entire network. Advanced security by checking the sites you visit against databases of millions of known threats. And Eero Plus prevents you from accidentally visiting malicious sites without slowing anything down. Tim.
Mm-hmm. Gia's mom
got
her house.
This,
yeah, was having some issues with the Wi-Fi service. Mm-hmm. Things weren't even all over. Her Gia's sister's room had like no service at all. And the bigger problem was their in-law unit that they rent out was getting really bad service. So we had to solve that. Eero made it super simple. There's an app that walked me through all the steps to get really optimized service. And now their entire place is just covered. Great service. No problem.
Wi-Fi mesh networks are like the future.
They're not the future. They're the present.
Oh, that's right.
Where could they get them now, Kev?
Never think about Wi-Fi again. To get $100 off Eero base unit and two beacon package and a 1 year of Eero Plus, visit Eero.com / kind of funny and check out. Oh, no. And at checkout, enter kind of funny. That's Eero.com/ kind of funny.
Like enter code kind of funny at checkout.
Mm-hmm. And our next ad. Hims.
Mm-hmm.
66% of men are losing their hair. Lose their hair by age 35. Sorry.
I was like, that's a really, high stat. Like, surely that's not true.
I mean, well, it is. That's it, though. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35.
Yeah. Which is scary.
Yeah.
Thing is, when you start to notice your hair loss, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. That's why you should be like Nick and Andy and go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. These are well-known generic equivalents to name brands prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science.
Mm-hmm. You can skip all the awkward things in the doctor's offices. Mm-hmm. You don't need to like deal with any of that. It's all online. Nick and Andy have been using it for a long time now. Andy's really happy with the
gummies.
The gummies that
they're
has,
delicious.
But like the thinning in his hair, like he's seeing results, which is really awesome. Yeah. Makes him feel better, makes him feel more confident.
Fun fact about the gummies, you're supposed to take two a day. Mm-hmm. Andy didn't realize that. Now we have a whole bunch of gummies that we're all taking.
He's going to be good for a while.
To order now, my listeners get a free trial, get a trial month for Hims for just $5.
Mm-hmm.
Today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctors or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/morningshow. That's
FORHIMS.com/morningshow.
All right. It's time for some trailer talk.
Let's do it.
Trailers.
I love trailers so much.
Me too.
We've got a couple trailers today.
It's a unique feeling that I've never felt in any other circumstance than hearing Kevin read.
I don't like. Let's not talk about it.
Like,
I hate it.
It's
I
just like
it.
There's like, it's like this weird sense of like, it's not cringing. It feels like cringing, but
there's a lot of anxiety in my mind while I'm reading.
There's a twist on it where it's like it's like a cringing where I'm on your side, where I'm like, you
I
got
start
this.
Jumping around.
I'm
that's like, the problem.
You got
I gotta
this.
Slow down.
It's like chugga 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 chugga. You just gotta get that train going. You know what
Tim,
I mean?
Tim, the panic is so real.
Trailer time. Right,
so the first trailer we're gonna discuss is The Kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Western movie about Billy the Kid.
You don't like Westerns, right?
No.
I love Westerns too. We just haven't had a lot of really good Westerns.
Yeah. We had a while of a lot of Westerns a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it got oversaturated.
Right? With Will Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so dumb.
Big fan of
Ethan Hawke.
Damn it. Where is he? This guy. Yeah.
Dane DeHaan,
man. Dude, I like him because he has a unique vibe, right? Like,
I've always thought. So, you guys see Chronicle?
Yeah.
Yes.
One of my favorites. The only movie he's good in.
Yeah. So,
stop that.
I mean, he's good. He's kind of right.
He's good in a lot of
Amazing
stuff.
Spider-Man 2?
His presence.
That's the thing is, there's something about him that makes him really watchable and awesome as an actor.
He just has
But he has made bad movie choices for since Chronicle.
But I feel like all the movies on paper sound good. Like, I'm sure that when he went to whatever the meeting was where someone pitched it to him, where it's Amazing Spider-Man 2, you're going to be...
You're Harry Osborn. Say no more.
Yeah, there you go. That's dope. What's the other movie that the last one that bombed? The Thousand Worlds?
Oh, yeah.
Valerian and the City of
Valerian and the City. That trailer looked cool. Yeah. Someone is like, hey, the dude that did Fifth Element wants to do another movie.
Yeah, but that director has only made two good movies.
Yeah, I know.
And he was ready for the third.
Yeah, it didn't work out super good. Yeah. It was really sad.
I don't know. I mean, Dane DeHaan, I like the guy and I want him to be good because if you haven't seen Dane DeHaan at his peak, go watch Chronicle. This is a movie that surprised everyone. Michael B. Jordan. That's one of his early movies. The movie just surpasses all of your expectations, unless I raise your expectations by saying all the shit.
But it really does. It's one of these movies that is found footage.
Yeah.
But it's so well done, and I feel like how they get the footage is cool too.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
The most impressive thing about Chronicle to me is the writing, and I feel like it's because the dialogue feels so authentic to the characters and to the world that you believe in it so much more that the found footage stuff doesn't come off as corny. It comes off as fitting because everything just feels realistic. It's the most grounded superhero movie possible.
Yeah.
Because it feels like that's what would happen.
And it also doesn't, while these kids acquire superpowers, it isn't a superhero movie the way we've come to know superheroes. Right. Like, they don't wear capes. They're not in suits. It's really these characters.
Are they saving out anyone ever?
Sometimes, a little bit. But the story follows Dane DeHaan's character as he kind of, spirals into madness, essentially, is what the story is about. And it really... It's a movie that you kind of expected, kids get superpowers and shit goes off the rails. That's what you expect. And really what you get is a lot deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's cool.
Yeah.
Max Landis script, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So talking about this trailer, not a great trailer, but man, it was jam-packed of people that I really like.
Very strong cast.
Yeah, really strong
Chris
cast.
Pratt with a healthy beard.
Not so healthy. He looked like a real bad guy.
I thought that was an interesting choice just because, I love Chris Pratt, but he just did another Western, the Denzel Washington one, the remake, what's it called? Magnificent Seven.
Magnificent Seven, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like...
Was he good in that? Did you watch that?
The movie's all right. Okay. I mean, he's pretty good. That's another movie that strong cast all the way through. Mm-hmm. There's not parts of it that are bad. It's just that... Magnificent, if you've seen the original, then some of the really big story beats that are awesome and amazing and unique, they just do the same thing in the remake and it's not all that surprising. And it's updated for the modern era, so it's a little bit faster, a little bit more action-y and less that sort of foreboding sense of westernness that was iconic in the 70s. So this kind of reminds me in a bad way of that. It just looks kind of bland, even if I love the cast.
Ethan
Hawke was
in
that movie.
Give me the world to watch. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so Ethan Hawke and Chris Pratt were both in Magnificent Seven. Yeah. So it's it's a stone's throw from that.
I will never watch this movie.
Wow. If it's great?
If I'm on a flight to China and there's only the six movies you got to watch and I have time for 10,
I'm just not watching Age of Extinction.
Yes. Yes.
You'd watch Age of Extinction again.
Over this.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right, cool. Moving on to the next trailer. Someone submitted this to me last week.
Okay. I'm going to have an unpopular opinion on this.
So, Long Shot is the name of the trailer.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's watch this trailer.
Oh, wait. Maybe you're going the same direction I am.
It totally won me over by the end where I was like,
thank you.
Dude, this movie looks great. What weird combo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah? So, I just saw a lot of the discussion on Twitter that people are hating on this movie.
Oh,
are they? Yeah. It looks like a straight up.
It looks like a rom-com.
It looks like a rom-com, but in a almost their criticism is that it's cynically just Seth Rogen being I want to hook up with an amazingly attractive person like Charlize Theron. And I get that, but This trailer feels authentic to me. I think Seth Rogen is endlessly charming on screen. He's really funny.
He really is charming.
And
it's
Charlize Theron is amazing and beautiful and super charming in this movie too. Like, they seem like they have a really good vibe. Like, I think it's going to be funny.
There's the scene where like they're talking in the trailer and then he walks away and falls down the stairs. And it's just like, that sort of humor is so dumb, but like so well done with
Seth Rogen.
That
was my least favorite part of the trailer. I don't like that type of shit.
I know, it's so dumb, but I felt like they did a great job of him like just
I didn't like that. I didn't like the sound design. It's so by the numbers of just like you hear it, then you hear the audience go, oh. And then later when they do, they're watching it and you hear that the rewind sound and then watching it over and over. I'm like, can we just give up on this trope? Like, that's bad. But I love how self-aware this is. Like, when you get towards the end of it and they're like, oh, yeah, it's just Pretty Woman with that guy. You're that. I love that. Yeah, like, they know what this is. The supporting cast seems fantastic. I don't know a lot of their names, but I'm like, oh, you're the dude that was in the bad group in Pitch Perfect. Or, like,
You're Ice Cube's son.
Oh, my God. He's one of my favorite actors.
He's so good.
He's really good. So I can't wait for him there. And then there's the woman that's not Charlize Theron, like the other main woman that was in the trailer, like a lot.
Like her assistant or whatever.
Yeah, the one that's like, you can't hang out with this idiot.
I love her. I always forget her name. She's Paul Scheer's wife. And she is so fucking funny.
Jesus Christ.
The thing I always talk about, Burning Love, that's like the Bachelor parody series. She's the Bachelorette. And she's so good. So good. I can't wait. I definitely want to see this.
Yeah, it looks fun. Like, it looks... Again, I don't... You got to keep your expectations in check.
Right.
I don't know that this is going to go down as like one of the greatest rom-coms of all time, but like it should be a fun, charming movie, a feel-good story about people that you're going to, you know, hopefully you like a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to the next trailer since Barrett refuses to pull up the IMDb.
Yep.
It's all good.
Rocket Man. How are you feeling about this trailer?
Significantly less hyped than I was after
the first.
Yeah. This is starting to feel more Bohemian Rhapsody.
It feels very Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know if I like this trend of... Well, I guess Bohemian Rhapsody doesn't necessarily...
It doesn't go this far.
No, but I meant like... This trend of making biopics about people who are basically still around, although I know that Freddie Mercury isn't still around, but like Queen is still around and like they're still very in pop culture, like the minds of everyone.
But also like Straight Outta Compton, where it's like these people are still.
Well, I mean, that actually felt good for me because.
I mean, that was a great fucking movie. Yeah.
Like their cultural relevance in the mainstream like ended in the 90s. So like that's far enough removed.
But like.
I feel like.
Are people. Is Elton John like?
But like I feel like this fits the bill with.
I'm sure that he's playing music still. Like, but is it that?
No, that's what I mean though. Is like it's a little weird to make a biopic about Elton John when Elton John is still here and still doing things. I think.
But is he? Is he still doing things?
I think he's like technically retired.
Joey just saw him in concert. Like,
but like, isn't this his last?
They're not like big concerts.
No, but I thought like, wasn't there a big announcement?
Are they? I don't know. I'm trying to.
Elton John is on the level of stadium performer. I'm sure. Yeah. Anywhere he goes.
Joey, how big was the concert you went to?
He sold out 4 nights of Staples Center.
Okay, yeah, real big, real big. Totally wrong about that.
Him and Billy Joel, I feel like, are the two like big.
Is that what that mic's for?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is it on? I don't know. Barrett playing Tetris.
It's on.
I don't know. I mean, like, I love Taron Egerton. Like,
Is that the main dude?
That's this dude. Yeah,
I love him so much.
He's the main dude in Kingsman.
So good.
Also, he's Eddie the Eagle. If you've seen that,
he's what?
Eddie the Eagle. It's about the Olympic skier, the British guy.
No, I haven't. Is it good?
Hugh Jackman's in it too. It's all right. It's a good feel good movie.
I like this actor a lot. Didn't realize it was him in the first trailer, and then watching it now, I was like, oh shit.
He's still a little too good looking to be.
Elton John, not a good looking. Elton John, not a good looking man.
Well, he's got the teeth, you know.
Wow, it's all British people. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I don't know about this because I fell in love with the first trailer where I was like, oh, I like that they're going to this like fantastical, larger than life. Like when he performs, like with this where everyone starts like floating. It's like I liked that, and I feel like that like gave it a purpose to. Exist.
Yeah.
Whereas like Bohemian Rhapsody, like I loved that movie as an experience. It's not a great movie.
Yeah.
But like, did you see it in theaters?
I didn't actually.
Oh my God. I saw it.
Kind of been boycotting Bryan Singer recently.
That's fair. But like, you should watch it because it is very cool.
I'll get around to it.
I saw it in Dolby with the audio and it's like, it felt like I was at a rock concert. Like, it was awesome.
But
that's what it is. Like, the story,
Very thin.
It felt like a VH1 behind the, not behind the music.
No, not
like,
even. That's even deeper, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing is like these biopics, I don't know if, I mean, well, this is true of Straight Outta Compton too, but like anytime the producers are the band, like you're going to get a very watered down, straightforward story that portrays them in the best possible light.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the best story.
When I brought up Straight Outta Compton, that's where I thought you were going, where it's like when the people are still alive and like
have and an influence. Involved yeah, have in an the influence. Movie, yeah.
Like then it's like it's the best version of events.
That's true.
To be fair, I really do like Straight Outta Compton.
I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I feel Straight Outta Compton succeeds, where Bohemian Rhapsody doesn't, is Straight Outta Compton, it's a movie that has a story and has a plot and has characters that start somewhere and end somewhere that makes sense in a line. Whereas Bohemian Rhapsody felt more like picking and choosing moments.
Yeah,
to
here
get
are his
to
like coolest
songs.
Moments in his life, and let's just glaze over these horrible like him cheating on his wife.
There's a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that obviously the like if you're making a movie about you. And you can choose what not to conclude. You're probably going to choose to like.
I'd probably add some
good
shit.
Good for you, man. You know? Shit ain't true at all, but I'm going to put it in the movie.
3 years of cocaine.
But yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody, that's also a movie made by two directors, essentially. Oh, funny story. The guy who directs this movie, I forget his name right off the top of my head, but it's the guy who replaced Bryan Singer on Bohemian Rhapsody.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, which.
It feels so much like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Do you think that's how he got the job? Is like he came in and saved Bryan Singer's ass for being like Bryan Singer's terrible.
I mean, I think
and
these
then,
are coming out too close to each other to like.
You think it was like,
but
true.
Like maybe not like, maybe not like, hey, I saved Bohemian Rhapsody, let me make this, but more like
I'm working on this.
Yeah, this is something
I got
like,
this, guys.
I already did this.
Yeah,
let me green light this at the same time or something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not really excited for this anymore.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's a cool trailer.
There was a part in the trailer where he's like saying his name. Which Reginald, I think it is. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, it's a dumb name. And like, he points at the dude and he's like, I think I'm going to call myself Elton. He's like, that's my name. He's like, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a badass, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
You just
stole this dude's name.
Yeah.
I'm more excited, I think, after this trailer because it looks like it's like we're seeing in the trailer, like, oh, this is going to be a story about a man who's creating a persona and then living in that persona. And I like the idea of watching that story.
That's cool. That's interesting. I think that another thing is like, and this might be blasphemy, not the biggest Elton John fan where it's like, I like his songs, but it's like, I could not tell you the name of any of his albums.
Dude,
you know
he's
what I mean?
Part of the Beatles though.
Fucking hate you, Kevin.
So funny. But like, whereas Straight Outta Compton, obviously I'm very ingrained in that. And Bohemian Rhapsody, I love Queen. So it's like.
Queen's so good.
With this, I'm like, maybe I'll learn something if I watch it. Yeah.
Do you think you're gonna?
I think I'll probably watch it. It seems like a movie pass movie. Interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I see most movies, so I'll probably end up catching it at some point. I don't know if it's like a day
bold
one
statement.
Week, opening
you
weekend
most
thing.
Most movies.
Most movies I'll see, yeah.
Interesting.
I just like being at the theater.
Yeah, I do too.
You guys know this about me. I'm generally at the theater like every weekend.
No,
do
I know
you
that.
Use any service? Like,
don't get started here.
I thought we won you over.
No.
I thought there was a point where
you
were like.
In fact, you put me off of it. Like, anytime
you. Oh, because the tweeting?
Yeah, anytime
I wanted MoviePass to succeed. I wanted it to stay as long as
it was never
going to
succeed.
Who cares? Now it's better.
But dude, AMC,
well, yeah,
AMC
I hear,
Pass is fucking
I don't think I don't necessarily think AMC. Maybe it will make this our big topic.
Do you know Rancy has AMC. A lot of people I know in LA
Wait,
have
let's
AMC.
Let's hold
pass
this. Let's hold
it.
This conversation. Stop.
You
let's hold
it?
This conversation.
Yes,
I'm gonna do one more trailer to talk about.
Ooh, yeah.
Twilight Zone trailer.
This
Yo,
looks cool.
This is how you sell a streaming service, man. Look.
Oh, okay.
Ah, man,
and
I'm
that's
so
that's
upset.
The part that
yeah,
sucks about
it's really
hey,
upsetting.
I'm getting it. How much is it?
Who cares?
I have no idea.
It's
I don't have it.
It's not
I want
cheap
it.
Enough is the thing.
Oh, this you look up.
Support good
this
content, man. Like, I enjoy a 7-day free trial. Cool. I'll do that and watch this shit. $5.99 a month. Oh, my God. This looks like it's worth $6 for sure.
Yeah.
Every single thing in this, I'm like, I want to see all of these. Every actor in it, I'm like, I love you. The best thing to me is the look of it. It feels so modern. It feels like a movie more than a TV show.
It doesn't remind
and
you of
every
the...
single bit that we saw looks like it has a cohesive feel and tone to it, which is so important with these anthology things that I feel like a lot of don't hit that mark that they need to. And this looks awesome, obviously, with Jordan Peele. I'm like, let's go.
Dude, you know that Jordan Peele the reason all these people, all these amazing, like Adam Scott and like all these amazing cast members are in it is because they want to be working on whatever Jordan Peele is working on. Dude,
it's great.
Yeah.
It's so cool. I didn't love the trailer.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I think it was the music where it didn't grab me.
Do you like the original Twilight Zone though?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
Oh, I love it so much.
I mean, I think this looks awesome. I agree with everything you said. It has this tone to it. It feels modern though. It doesn't feel dated. That's like the thing is like when it was announced that he was going to be doing a Twilight Zone thing, I was like, that's an old show. Like, if it feels old or doesn't feel...
Yeah, but I feel like that's a show, like, people like... I mean, Dark Mirror is Twilight Zone.
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror, sorry. Yeah, Black Mirror is Twilight Zone.
No, see, I think Twilight Zone's way smarter. I have an unpopular opinion on Black Mirror. I think Black Mirror's very on the nose. Like, it's not subtle enough. This looks subtle enough, like where there's a mystery to it, where like you want to know what's happening, and as you're putting it together, you're blowing your own mind. That's what this show feels like. Where in Black Mirror, any episode I'm like, it has some interesting ideas, no doubt. But like any episode I'm watching, I'm like, I get it. Like, how much more do you have to?
I haven't tell seen me? Enough of it to know, but like the episode I did saw, see, nose, I would say I'd put more in the Twilight Zone camp than what you're saying, but I only saw maybe 2 or 3. But this looks great to me. I remember
too much Twilight Zone?
No, Black
Mirror. Okay, Black Mirror.
When they rebooted this last time in like the early 2000s on UPN or whatever. CW,
they had some good episodes, but I don't remember it too much.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like it kind of fell into a trap of it didn't modernize. And I feel like this has a movie like quality feel to it. Like this feels bigger scale than that one because that just felt like a modern TV show at the time, which is not what people were looking for. Right. And this, I think, having Jordan Peele, having this cast.
I think that's the biggest thing. With Jordan Peele doing Get Out and that being such a, like, cool horror movie, that, like, is... That's what's gotten me psyched about it.
That's
like,
great.
It seems like it's in the right hands. And then this trailer, chock full of great actors.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those things where it's like, purposeful. Wow.
I think the music, though, is that you were saying you didn't like it. I feel like, to me, that's what makes this feel modern. And that tells me the scale of this. They did the Hollywood movie trailer thing of, like, we're going to give you that song that you know, but we're going to, like, slowly build up, and it's going to be epic. It's going to sound professionally recorded. Like there was money and attention put into the score. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the difference between TV shows and movies, to me. And I think that we're going to see this, and it's going to be better than a normal TV show. And I'm going to pay for the streaming service for this.
That's crazy.
I don't know if I'll go that far.
If you do that, and I know that you're... I don't think you're a fan of Star Trek, but I'd highly recommend Star Trek.
I want to watch Discovery. You guys have sold me
on
it.
Did I tell you I bought it?
No.
I bought it.
Are they still in the season first season?
No, they started season 2, and I want to watch it so bad.
$4.99.
Oh, it's so good.
$5.99.
Well, there was some caveats to that.
Free trial.
Yeah.
There's like a $9.99 for ad-free.
Oof.
See, this is the thing, is like, it doesn't, is
minor, but it's
in and of itself, yeah, $5 or $10, that's not a lot for a streaming service, but it's the fact that you're paying for like 8 other streaming services at the same time, like, it adds up.
It's where you have friends.
We're very close.
You
know,
you got one
friend
with
close
Hulu.
To getting back to where we were with cable services,
see,
before we got streaming.
One friend with Netflix.
Here's the thing, though, like, people keep saying that. The difference is the quality has been risen across everything. If you don't want one of the things, guess what? You don't want it because there's nothing good there. Don't get it. It's like with cable, you couldn't just not pay for the bad channels, right?
It's making a good point.
I feel like with Hulu and with Netflix and with All Access and stuff, they're putting effort and money into these programs. Like, everything is becoming HBO. It's not like cable was, where it's like you had to then pay extra for HBO, but like, great, you get some good things on this channel and that channel. It's like it's not channel-based. It's content-based.
No, I know, but I mean, I just don't know that. Like, I don't think everyone wants to be like HBO, and that's their goal. Mm-hmm. I don't think everyone is there yet.
I think everyone, with the exception of Hulu, that I can't think of right now, has like something worth joining to watch. Like Discovery with CBS All Access. Netflix has a ton of shit that's just really, really good.
Handmaid's Tale was
the Hulu one.
Like,
right.
That's the thing is, and again,
that's
be smart.
Really
subscribe
also,
they
when
have
you
Jack
want.
Ryan. No, that's
Back
Amazon.
Off when
never
you
mind.
Yeah,
it's
Amazon. But Amazon also now has stuff that is its own and cool and worth watching.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think this is going to be awesome, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, hopefully they, maybe I'll free trial it, or hopefully there's some other way I can access it without having to pay the sub.
Pay for content, man. Support people
doing
cool shit.
That's a great option.
I do that, man.
It just feels so foreign. It feels
so
foreign, yeah.
There's a lot of things to support out there.
There is?
So I want to have a brief conversation. You go to the movies a lot.
All the time.
Last year, what was your favorite movie? that you watched in 2018? Yeah. Like a 2018 movie. We did our top 10 list, but you can tell me however many you want.
I think the one I loved most was probably Annihilation or BlacKkKlansman or Sorry to Bother You. Those three are like the three movies that I was like stunned didn't get Oscar nods. Although I get it.
BlacKkKlansman did.
I meant that.
Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to Bother You is the one that stood out to me as like, how did that
was
not...
such an interesting movie.
When I get it, it's like really big weird.
I wanted to know a little bit more about the world. It was cool that they didn't. I understand that's what the movie was, but yeah.
Did you see Blindspotting?
No.
Blindspotting is one of the best movies from last year.
Like definitely now that I've seen it recently.
From this year?
It's from last year.
Oh.
2018.
And it is the movie to me where I'm like, I can't believe it's not nominated. And I think that it is the much better Sorry to Bother You. I think you should check
it out.
It's David Diggs, who was on the original run of Hamilton, and his friend Rafael Casal, who's like, they're both like Bay Area kids, and it's about kind of gentrification and black and white identity in Oakland. I feel like Sorry to Bother You, I don't think is a fair comparison, because I feel like Sorry to Bother You is more about capitalism sucks.
But I still feel like they're... I put them in the similar vein of the kind of
like social commentary.
Social commentary type stuff. Like it's not necessarily about race, but also is still.
Yeah.
But it's just the social commentary movie, and especially like it's Oakland. It's like there's a lot of elements that go into it that I feel there's overlap.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was like that's a movie, especially in the current Hollywood model, like that I can't imagine any producer trying to pitch that to a studio and being like, this is the movie we want to make. You know, people aren't interested in hearing that stuff. That one really stood out to me. But then, yeah, I think BlacKkKlansman I thought was awesome. I don't know if you guys seen that.
Yeah, I watched
so
it.
So good.
So good.
It's so, I say this, and I think it's maybe a little controversial. I think it's in the same tier of Spike Lee as, like, Do the Right Thing. Like, it's right there
it's
alongside.
It's really good.
It's so good.
It's very good.
And, like, it's so good that it makes me take back everything bad I've ever said about Spike Lee. Because before that, I'd be like, yeah, I love Spike Lee, but the last, like, 10 years, he hasn't made a good movie.
Tough.
15 years, maybe.
But, like... this movie's great.
This movie is great, and he commits in areas, without giving away spoilers, he commits in areas where, like, I would, if I was, you know, I direct, if I was in that same chair, I wouldn't have gone that far. And that just shows you why he's awesome. Yeah. You know? Like, he... Say what you will about Spike Lee, but he cares so much about the subject matter. So I thought that really stood out. And then, yeah, Annihilation, which is really early in the year, came out like in February. Yeah. It had this weird thing, too, where like in the rest of the world, it's on Netflix. So people think of it as a Netflix movie.
Well, it was on Netflix eventually. And
it's still not here, though, right?
Really? No, I think it is.
I'm not sure.
Barry, you want to look that up real quick?
But yeah, like when it came out,
TV.com.
It was a Netflix movie everywhere in the world, but in America where it had a theatrical release. So I saw it in theaters, and I don't think it did all that well because of that.
Uh-huh.
But man, what an interesting movie.
From my understanding is that it I thought it was produced by Netflix, or like they bought it and then put it in theaters so that it could have a run at the Oscars.
I mean, I'm sure that had something to do with it. Yeah. They did buy it, Netflix, but again, weirdly.
Oh. No, it's not. It's Hulu. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, but everywhere
Mortal Kombat
else.
Annihilation. Oh my God. And American Ninja 4 Annihilation are also available on Hulu.
Annihilation. Jeez, that movie.
It was fine.
Yeah, but I really, really enjoyed it. It was fucking weird, though.
I mean, it's
what a trip.
It's awesome, man. Yeah. Like, I think that dude's filmmaking.
The acting in it also is phenomenal from everyone that, like, the whole, like, squad that goes into the. The bubble or whatever the hell they call
it.
It was distributed by Paramount in North America and China and Netflix internationally.
Yeah, see, there you go. Netflix had international rights for it, but then Paramount had a theatrical run in the States.
I remember it going out on Netflix and having a date because I watched it like the week before and it was like in between that period.
You sure you weren't in like Canada or something?
No.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter. I think that this is an awesome. I love. So. Like, full disclosure, I'm a big sci-fi guy. It's my favorite genre. So I'm generally more forgiving of sci-fi than I am of other things, but I don't think that this fits the bill in terms of, like, I'm giving it a pass. Like, I think it's a genuinely awesome adaptation. Yeah. I haven't read the book. And the cast, like you said, is really stellar. And the ideas that drive the movie and how they're thematically resonated in the filmmaking are awesome. Like, the whole theme is division and sort of separation and how that happens in the movie, and the things that happen are horrifying and beautiful in the most crazy, unique ways, and I thought that was awesome.
Annihilation was real good. Real good. You didn't watch it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool, man. I mean, I don't blame people who didn't like it. Didn't really get a lot of press and stuff.
You go to the movies weekly, but you don't have any service?
It's been rough lately because I've just been super busy. But yeah, I mean, generally, if there's a movie that I want to see at the theaters, then I'm there like every weekend, just about, you know? Sometimes there are like things released that aren't good, and so I'm not going to go see bad movies or movies that I wasn't going to see just to be at the theaters.
Right.
So maybe like every week is a little bit of an overestimation.
But if you had A-list, you could do that.
Well, yeah, totally. But I mean, even then, it's like, I don't know. I'm going to see movies. I know what I want to see and what I don't want to see. It doesn't really have to do with reviews or trailers.
Sure.
Just
it's a feeling, right? Yeah. You watch a trailer and you're like...
Exactly.
Or hear like the story summary.
You know, or talk to my movie buddies and like what we're buzzed about. Things like reviews or box office doesn't affect that. So I don't really know if a service might help in the long run, like save money, but it's also
it really would. Just doing
I don't know. It has to be the right service. You know? Like I never thought MoviePass was the right service.
It sucks because I loved MoviePass. I legitimately love MoviePass. I have a Cinemark Century 20 right next to my house, and it's so easy. Like it literally is 5 blocks away. It was a walk. Great. Like every week we would go get sushi and go watch a movie, and it was fun. But now I have A-List, which works fantastic.
How much is A-List?
$20 a month.
24, I think, now, right?
Not yet.
Oh, really? I thought it was in the beginning of the year.
I don't think so. But it gets you 3 movies a week at any AMC. It can be any theater, any auditorium. So Dolby, 3D, IMAX, anything. Same price. Don't pay extra.
Mm-hmm.
You can reserve ahead of time. You get to reserve your seat, whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can reserve tickets for movies that come out. Like as soon as tickets go on sale, you can reserve it. So I have my Captain Marvel.
I have my Us movies.
And right? Us. Yeah. Like booked
Which,
already.
Ooh, just, Us looks awesome.
There is a flaw in their system because those take up 2 reservation spots, of which you have 3 a week, which means that I now have a reservation for seeing some movie on Sunday. I can't remember what it is. But I wanted to go with Joey to see some rom-com that just came out with Rebel Wilson.
That's not a flaw in the system, though. That's necessary so that people don't just reserve a ton of movies.
I guess you're making sense. I guess you're making sense. Yeah. But I want to watch a movie on Friday, and I can't. But it just it works really well.
I mean, you can. You just have to pay for it, like
I'm
a regular person.
I'm already paying for it.
A-List is great.
Yeah. The problem I have with it is there's 2 A-List movie theaters or AMC movie theaters in the Bay Area. In San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really
Van
really
Ness and
no, Van Ness is closed.
R.I.P.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Van Ness closed?
Ago. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I guess I could have seen that I could have seen that coming. Yeah. That theater's kind of janky.
I saw Too Fast, Too Furious there.
We saw Spider-Man there, didn't we? All
Homecoming, we did.
Yeah.
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 That was cool.
That's
Nick's theater.
So now it's time for Out Now on streaming services. Not too much. Hulu has a movie called The Sister Brothers.
Cool.
It's about it's a Western. It's about a couple of brothers whose last name is Sisters.
Cool.
And it just seems really cool. Very like if you like Westerns, I say check it out. Netflix we got this week, Ken Jeong's You Complete Me Ho.
I hear that's so funny. Just people saying it on
Twitter. Yeah, good stand up.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah.
Neither do you have interest in that?
I don't.
You're a big
stand up guy. A lot of these like really mainstream like actory types doing stand up, I tend to not like as much. But
dude,
I will
Ken
say
Jeong's
Ellen was
cool.
a great example of that. Like when hers popped up, I was like, this is going to be garbage. And I watched it, I'm like, this is fantastic.
Very wholesome.
One of the best stand up specials on Netflix.
Like you would
expect
of Ellen.
She killed it, man.
Yeah.
Like, it like beautifully weaves storytelling, very funny, like and not as like you know, perfect and it goes there. Like she's talking a lot of shit. It's cool.
But I think she does have stand up chops like from before she was really, really famous, I believe. And then same with Ken Jeong. So
Well,
I'm definitely gonna watch it.
I just found out like earlier this week that he's a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't
I don't think he's practicing
anymore.
Well,
I mean, I think he still has, like, his license, right?
Well, I don't think it got revoked, but I don't think, like, you're I don't think you...
If someone...
He's not, like, practicing. You can't go see
King John.
If
someone collapses right next to us, and I say, is there a doctor in the house? He would stand up and be like, yeah, what the fuck do you want me to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's dead. He's clearly dead.
Yeah.
Remember when he was in Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen, and at some point fucking was fighting Laserbeak, and then they did a super dramatic thing where he had two pistols, and the camera went right in his face, and he was like, what's up, motherfuckers?
Yeah. I really don't remember
why they do that.
Why'd they?
Because he's funny, you know?
Ken Jeong
God, he was
funny.
So good in Community.
Support Asian dudes. Dude, Community is so good. I love Community.
I feel like they lose it after the third season a little bit. Harder to watch. The 40-Year-Old Virgin now on Netflix.
A classic.
So, awesome. Yeah, classic.
A Judd Apatow classic.
Mm-hmm. And then movie theaters are out in movie theaters now is we've got How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World. Which I watched.
Do I need to have seen the other two How to Train Your Dragon?
Yeah, very absolutely. Did you not watch them?
No, I hear they're really good.
They're
and
really
I know
good.
They are really good.
One's really good.
Two is very good. Y'all are just regardless.
I just rewatched it. It's very
Barrett, can you bring this up so people can see it?
What I'm looking at?
Google?
The autocomplete?
Yeah, but like, delete all of it now. Delete all of it. And just type IS. Space.
Is water wet?
I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
I don't like that question at all.
Thank you for that.
And then we have Fighting With Your with My Family.
Hell yeah,
Did
man.
Did you watch it?
No, it's just coming out.
Oh, I thought last week you said you were going to watch it.
I got the dates wrong.
Page.
Yeah. Right? I'm watching this for sure next week.
Doing really well on Rotten Tomatoes.
If you want to come. Yeah?
I definitely want to come.
Cool. Cool Greg's going to come too. Do you have any interest?
What? I mean, I'll go see a movie. But
we'll
I saw the trailer and I was like,
"Dude, I'm telling you, with A-list,
I'm not really into WWE." You know,
here's the thing, though.
But it's not about that. It's about the family and the story of these people.
I'm excited.
But even that, I was like, "Okay, this is for WWE fans."
I don't know what it is, really.
I think it partly is. Seeing The Rock be The Rock, you know.
I think we saw all that we're gonna see of him.
Really?
Yeah, I'll bet
that's
you.
It.
Yeah, that's.
I imagine.
Maybe there's a little bit more.
No.
Very, very little.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a post-credits scene.
Isn't he producing this movie?
Yeah. Which is interesting.
He wants to get butts in the seats, you know.
Dude, I mean, he is The Rock.
What's his company called? Seven
Buck.
Seven Buck. That sounds right. Let's go with that.
Missed an opportunity. Could call it Rocksteady Productions. That would have been cool. Hits every time.
All right, so last week I asked you kids for your recos over the bronze tier, and you guys came in. The first show someone recommended, which I think Tim might really like, is from Brian from Seattle. He recommends Pen 15 on Hulu. Have you seen this?
Yeah, someone has recommended this to me on Twitter.
But is it penis?
Yeah, I think that's what the joke is.
Okay.
It is about two best friends, seventh graders, going to middle school or whatever.
Yeah.
High school? No, I don't know. Middle school, I think it is.
Sounds enthralling.
But it's the kind of shit that you like high school or like early.
Coming of age.
Hey, Barrett, can you search for penis, please?
I'm not
doing that. And yeah, the trailer looks fun.
Cool. I'll check that out.
It seems like it's some shit that you would like.
I like that shit. I like little kids.
Stop it.
Mario Not Bro says, guys, you have to watch Green Book. It's a phenomenal movie and my current front runner for Best Picture.
I hear it's very good. I haven't seen it yet. I'm still catching up on all the Oscar movies. What's interesting about this is it's a Best Picture nod.
No. I'm saying, what are you catching up?
Every year before the Oscars, I make sure I try and see as many of the Best Picture nods as I can. I don't think I'll watch Bohemian Rhapsody, but.
Do you like Queen?
Yeah, sure.
You should fucking watch it. It's
yeah, but like
great.
I said, I've kind of been boycotting Bryan Singer.
Got it. Yeah. I forgot.
And I don't want to.
Hey, but it's also Queen. Is it like, you know, it's a troubling spot.
Yeah, but like, who needs that story, you know?
You guys should watch it.
I can just listen to the albums.
It's true.
I hear Green Book is really good. And actually, I saw the trailer when it first came out and I was like, dude, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in like how that. Have you guys been following all the controversy around that movie leading up to the Oscars? I'm more interested in seeing how that all resolves.
What's going on? Just give me a little.
Well, just like there was a little bit of like racial tension around it because it kind of portrays like it's kind of like a white savior movie. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then also in addition to that, Mahershala Ali, who is really awesome in the movie, supposedly, like the directors and producers, the director and producers kept from him that the character he plays in the movie, that that person's family is alive and he could have talked to them. And they basically like hid that information from him. So he had no access to it. So he played this character in a way that the family doesn't approve of. And they've publicly stated that.
Dude, that sucks.
And so there's this controversy about the family's role in it.
Sounds like some Philip DeFranco shit, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true.
This is interesting.
Philip DeFranco did a video where he was talking about all the like behind. Well, he didn't do it. One of the people in his network did it.
His team made a deep dive. He does deep dive videos now where I think it's like once or twice a week. There's like investigative journalism video essays. It's really cool stuff. But he did one about how the Oscars work, like how the voting process works for Best Picture.
And then there's all these negative campaigns that like are not allowed but secretly done to stop this, like the Zero Dark 30. They did like a they did a like FBI investigation that was a big deal and in the news where it was like, where did you get your information on torturing? And then like as soon as the Oscars happened, dropped the investigation.
Or like for Shape of Water, right when the voting process was going on, there was articles going up about is it plagiarized and
and it turned out like stuff. If you look into the argument being there, it was like no, it was very clear it was not plagiarized.
It was just headlines,
but there were headlines
news,
everywhere.
Right.
Cause commotion, and then the moment that like the voting process stopped, it was like those all dropped. And
just
we're like,
to
oh,
kind
no,
of like
not.
Yeah, impact the voting process.
You're not allowed to talk shit about the other movie. You should watch the video. Like,
yeah,
it's really
awesome.
Good.
Like,
yeah.
Do you know also how upsetting. The voting process works? Because you should watch. This.
I mean, I have general senses. Like, I know that you only directors vote for other directors and stuff like that.
But for
like,
Best
the DGA
Picture,
and shit.
It's such a weird and complicated system.
The quick version to tell you is every single category of the 24 is voted on, just whoever gets the most votes wins, except Best Picture. The way Best Picture works is everybody votes, and the number one needs to win by 50%, like have 50% of the vote.
If it
doesn't, they cut the bottom one out, and then they redo the votes and see until one has 50. So in actuality, it's not the one getting the most, well, it is the one getting the most votes, but it's actually the least
hated movie.
The least known, like the least popular, the least not popular movie gets it.
So the most popular movie.
But that's different though.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, it is because the less people vote for movies, they're just going to get cut out. So the splitting the vote works in a really weird way. I'm going to send you the link. It's
but
really
yeah,
cool.
I'll watch it. It isn't the most though, because like if a movie gets 49%, it won't necessarily win. That's so fascinating.
Yeah,
it's just like it's interesting because like there's all this there's a kind of a bunch of negative publicity about the movie coming out now, and I mean even when it first came out, but from all accounts the movie seems like it's a good movie. So
and it also just got on Amazon. I didn't include it in my list because it's Amazon, like you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So it's the only movie out of the 8 nominated Best Picture movies that I haven't seen. How many have you seen of the?
Probably half of them, maybe a little bit more at this point. Yeah, I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody. I haven't seen Green Book yet.
Is the favorite? Did you watch the favorite?
Oh no, I haven't
a
seen
Star
it.
A Star Is Born.
And that's probably I did see A Star Is Born. I love that.
See Roma.
I don't think I'm
Black Panther. You've obviously
saw,
seen.
Yeah, saw Black Panther.
So I mean, right now, what would be your like?
That's
who
the
would
thing
you
is
it
like
to?
It's really hard because I don't know that there's a clear front runner this year. I guess Roma, but that has the Netflix thing. With it, if I was like in the Academy and voting, I would vote Black Klansman.
Interesting.
But yeah, to me, there's not like a clear front runner. All of them have significant drawbacks to them.
Yeah.
Also, I hear The Favorite's good, but it's just hard to sell me on that kind of movie, like a period piece.
It's a cool movie, but I just
it's not your favorite.
I don't think it's the number one. rather, I don't think it should be the number one. This is super weird for me, but like for me. If I were to decide Best Picture right now without seeing Green Book, it would be A Star Is Born. I loved it.
It's really good.
It's really good.
But it's also not original.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I just don't want to. That movie was made before already.
Yeah, I know. And they
and
made
it's
it again.
The same
it was
movie.
Fucking great.
Yeah, but it's the same movie.
Like, yeah, I know. And like, guess what? I didn't watch the other three versions that came out. I watched this one.
There are three other versions?
Yes, there's three other versions.
All I remember is
it
the
goes
Barbara
back
Streisand
to like the 1920s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
30s, somewhere in there.
A lot of stars being born.
Let me do a couple more recos. Sam Mosher says, American Animals. It's about four college students who want to steal their school's rare book collection. I promise it's way more exciting than it sounds.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
The trailer is also super dope.
Yeah.
I remember when I watched the trailer, I was very interested in it. And now
Wait,
that you
what
bring
was it
up,
called?
American Animals. They wear like animal masks. It's really rad.
Oh, I saw a trailer for this in theaters.
It looked wild, weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really like.
I can't remember who was in the cast, but I remember being like interested.
It has the same vibe of Thoroughbreds in terms of style of shooting and stuff.
Another recommendation from James Davis, also known as 16 Bits of Awesome, says Russian Doll. If you haven't watched it, oh my God, binge it now.
Yeah, a lot of stories, fucking Looney Tunes, in the best way.
I haven't seen it, but it is on my list of stuff to watch. And with just finishing Umbrella Academy, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to jump in.
Good chunk of people on Twitter saying that this is Netflix's best show ever.
No.
That's what they say.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's bold.
That's what IGN says.
The less you know, the better.
Wow. Is that what IGN says?
I think
they gave it a 10.
Never heard of that site.
Wow.
Gave it a 10.
And then let's do one more. DH Canna says, all of you guys, especially Nick and Kevin... Nick's not here. Sorry about that. I'll talk to him about this later.
You
should watch the TV show Happy. The first season is on Netflix with the second season premiering on Sci-Fi next week. It's based off a comic book and is so completely fucked up on many levels.
It stars Gia's number one on her laminated list of guys that she would fuck if given the chance.
Who does it star?
The guy from SVU.
Yeah, that's what he said in the thing. All right, cool. So
Christopher Maloney.
Yeah.
That was the your recos for February. Thank you so much for submitting it. And for the bronze tier people, if you're listening right now, please submit topics that you would like us to discuss on quieter days.
Okay.
So it'd be fun to know what you guys are interested. Thank you guys so much for joining us. That has been our show.
Stay tuned for Greg Miller streaming Anthem while eating pizza.
Yeah.
Oh. Whoa, can he do both?
And drink a beer?
I don't think so, right? Because the hands.
I don't know, man.
Maybe he's forking and knifing it, you know?
Barrett's going to stand there.
No one does that. And feed it to him?
Feed it to him.
I love that.
I hate that.
All right, say the thing that you're not allowed to say.
Oh, we'll see you at the movies.
No, you can't say that.